So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So he's seen the holiness. Now, the next, he's about to see the holy love. He's about to see the holy love. Sixth verse. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal. He had taken with the tongs from the altar. Now, there's a lot of symbolism here. When we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, or the fire of God, we're not talking about some kind of a fire that literally gives us the picture of fire burning. When we're talking about the fire and the power of God, we're talking about the love of God. And that's why we sing that song, "The Power of Your Love." His power is not some kind of a magical electricity that flows through my body and your body. He may choose to speak to you like that, but that's your own experience with God. His love is like fire that consumes. His love just engulfs us. And not only just engulfs us like the fire, it begins to burn all the impurities in our lives. It's the love of God that begins to burn all the ugliness in my life. It's the love of God that begins to destroy the power of that sinful nature in me. It's the love, the holy love of God, that brings God from his throne to me. And then the deep cleansing starts in my heart. And then he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away." The word for iniquity, you could translate them as sins. The actions, the iniquity. Does anyone have a Bible that uses a different word for iniquity? Any other translation? Behold, yes, your guilt is taken care of. And your sin purged. Your sin nature, the condition of your heart, the one that which with you were born, that is now purged. Sanctification is also known as the divine purging. Purging has to do with a whole lot of range of activities where the impurities are sucked out of the entity there. They are burned and they are beaten to the shape where they were, what they were intended to be. And that's purging. Purging has to do, it's a deep, radical concept. And that's what sanctification is. It kind of like in a huge, the divine tube of God sucks out all kinds of that ugliness from me, that sinful nature from me. And he begins to beat me and mold me into the likeness of his son, Jesus. Because that's what God intended me to be, in the likeness of God. So his guilt is taken care of. But his sin, his nature is also now different. He's been set free from this law of sin. He's been set free from this sinful nature. He's been set free from this condition that causes him to sin. His flesh nature. Now Isaiah, if he was the Apostle Paul, he would have said that now the self-centeredness has gone from my life. And he would have said with Apostle Paul that it's no longer I that liveth. Because I has now been burnt. It's been cremated. It's turned into ashes. God has brought his fire upon me. And that me, that self-centeredness has now been burnt. And therefore, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Sadhu Sundar Singh says that again and again, I have seen in my life that it's not really that you bear the cross. He says that it's, I'm convinced, he says, it's the cross that bears you. And the only thing you don't want to carry that cross, he says, is because you know the implications and you know the consequences thereof. You know what God will require of you when you make that kind of a radical commitment to God. You know that, and willingly you do not want to do that, because you know that if you did that, if you cried out like Isaiah, help me, that time you know that God will change all your plans. He will alter your agenda. Your plans will no longer be your plans, because you will say like the Apostle Paul, my plans are dead. I don't live anymore. So I have no plans. How can a dead man have a plan? So my plans are now his plans. My dreams are now surrendered on the throne. My ideas are gone. My opinions, I don't even have one. My likes and my dislikes, they are all bundled in all one bundle, and they've been surrendered to him at his feet. I'm dead. I'm gone. I'm hanging on the cross with Jesus. But I'm not just hanging there. I have brought back to life. I've been brought back to life. Because this sinful me is now hanging on the cross with Jesus. And as Pastor Premdas reminded me of somebody's quotes there, that the man... the tree of good, the tree of life, man did not eat from that. He ate from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all the consequences thereof. That tree is now on the Calvary. Whatever was plucked out of that tree now hangs on the cross. Beautiful concept. That whatever man plucked out of that tree now hangs on the cross there. But it doesn't finish there. The tree then is planted in your heart, and it begins to produce the fruit, the peace, the joy, the love, the self-control, the long-suffering, all of that. But something else happened after that. Many people think that, well, once you're sanctified, this is it. You've been sanctified. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You've been given the power. You've been given the purity. Now that's full stop. I have arrived. I've become the saint. I don't need any more. No. That's just the beginning. That was the crisis point. That was the instantaneous side of the sanctification. Now that purging, that fire coming upon you, that only gives way to the progressive sanctification, the process of sanctification. But there is a process of sanctification that we need to understand. The experience is one thing, but understanding how that process works. And in that process, do we become sinless? Do we become perfect? Do we become saints? Do we become holy? How does that look like? Well, that process is what will explain what that looks like. But in Isaiah's case, as soon as his heart was cleansed by the fire, he heard God's voice. And God said to him, whom shall we send? Whom shall go for us? Who shall go for us? Let me correct it right. Where is it? So, seventh verse. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, your sin purged. Also I heard, 8th verse, he says, he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go. You're able to hear the voice of God. You're able to do the will of God. You're able to go the extra mile. You're able to turn the other cheek. You're able to bear the cross, because that point in your life, nothing else matters. You've been set free from the power of sin. Romans, the Apostle Paul gives us an analogy. That analogy is like the Apostle Paul says that I have been tied to this dead body. In Apostle Paul's time and Jesus' time too, one of the forms of the capital punishment, if the person was sentenced to die, what the Romans did was they brought that person who was sentenced to die and they tied that alive, living person to a dead body, hand to hand, face to face, legs to leg. And then they would leave that pair to kind of, it was slow death outside the city. And it was the living person would breathe the death. It would smell the death. It would have it all the time with him. He is living, but he's got death living with him. And the Apostle Paul describes that condition, carnal condition like that. I'm living for God. I want to live for him. But I find that there is this dead body stuck to me. And that is of this sinful nature. Who will rescue me from this body of death? He questions. But then he answers his own question by saying, praise be to God through Jesus. Is it possible for us to be set free from the power of sin? Is it possible for us to have the experience of the sinful nature, the power of sinful nature destroyed over our lives? And when that happens, gradually, in that process, we begin to like the things that God likes. We begin to love the things that God loves. Impatience slowly begins to lose its power over you. Anger begins to lose its grip over you. You gradually discover in your life that in a gradual way, God gives you the hatred for sin. You come to a place where you don't need a book to remind you, because then God says, now the law is written on your heart. The law is written on your heart. You don't need the book now. You don't need the externalism. You don't need to beat your body into discipline. He says, let Jesus live his life through you. Let Jesus live in you. Let him take total control of your life. What do I need to be sanctified? What do I need to do in order to be sanctified? Sanctification is an act of God. He does that for us. But there is a part that we have to play. And I think Isaiah shows us that very well. It's a simple confession, an earnest desire to be set free from the sinful nature. That's all it is. I read a testimony of a long, struggling homosexual. He is a big evangelist today, and hundreds and thousands of people are coming to know Jesus through this man, especially the ones who were of the similar kind of position as him. He says that he met Jesus in one of the evangelistic meetings. And he understood that what he was living, his lifestyle, was not glorifying to Jesus. He came and he repented of that. But he said, my temptations were louder and bigger and of huge magnitude after I gave my heart to the Lord. On one hand, I really wanted to please God. I really wanted to serve him. But on the other hand, there was something in me that was pulling me back, that was stopping me. And I would say, God, I can't. And years of living a double life, he said, one day I knelt at my bed and I said to God, God, I have tried everything. I have tried the discipline, reading of the books, the camps, the retreats, the seminars, the worship, the tithing, the reading, the devotionals. I've done that. The exhaustive list of doing things. And he said, God, nothing has worked. And then he said, God, if you will not change me, I will never change. And he said, I simply give the control over to you. I surrender myself to you. This is my problem. I really want to be a changed person, but I found that there's something in me that is stopping me from doing that, becoming like that. He said, God, either you change me or just let me die in hell. And God, when he did that, when he surrendered, he says the fire of God fell on him. And his heart was radically transformed. And he began to develop a gradual hatred for that condition. What he used to like before, he began to grow this gradual hatred towards it. Many times we expect people to change instantly. It doesn't happen that way. The Spirit has to convict them, and he will begin to break that the power of that sinful nature over them. But that's his job. Our responsibility is to say, God, I need your help. What does the bride do when the pastor says, will you marry this man? She looks at him. Sometimes she doesn't, but she simply says, I do. In sickness or in health, riches and in poverty, in good times and in bad times, I make this commitment and I pledge myself. I separate myself for this man. That's what sanctification is. Making a conscious decision in saying, I have tried living my life in selfishness. I've tried to discipline myself. I've tried to do it in my own strength. It's not working. Now it's time for marriage. I'm going to separate myself for the Lord. I'm going to wear his ring. And I'm not going to love the Lord because it's a law. I'm not going to love him because I'm legally married to him. I don't go home tonight because if I don't go home, the New Zealand government will arrest me. I go home because there's somebody who loves me there. The sanctification is like that. You have to liken it to the relationship. And yes, there will be times when you'll make mistakes. But you know the one that you have committed your life to, he is not a big policeman sitting with a big danda in his hand. Your concept of God, my concept of God, will determine how we think about ourselves, how we treat other people. The process of sanctification on a daily basis, moment to moment, it leads us to become like Christ moment by moment. And that is the purpose of sanctification, to make us more and more like Christ. To make us more and more like him. Holy love, holiness, holy grace. And that's his purpose, that God, through sanctification, wants us to grow in that process where we day by day begin to be conformed in the likeness of his son Jesus. The song says, oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Purity is the highlight of this book. It says that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The ones who do not have the purity will not see God. Next time we'll see what perfection means. Next time we'll see whether the sanctified people sin or not. Whether they should sin or not. We will see how do we view the external things. We will see how what it means to have the rule book, whether we need it or we don't need it. We will look at that. We will look at what temptations are. Will the sanctified people be tempted or not? We'll look at all of that. So allow me to serve you again. The good thing is that when I speak, my heart is transformed. it brings back to memories of my experience with the Lord when I said, God, set me apart for you. Let it burn. I'm not concerned about whether Tendulkar wins or not. I love him. I like him. But my life is not consumed with who's winning in the cricket and whether India is becoming superpower or not. That's secondary. I love India. I love Manmohan Singh. And he was in the list of top leaders. That's quite a thing to be proud of. But when you're sanctified, your heart is consumed with the kingdom. Because on a daily basis, you want to please the Lord. You want to love the people around you. And your earnest desire is to be like Christ every day. Sadhu Sundar Singh says that he had a vision. And in his vision, he saw the throne of God. And on that throne, he says, there was this tremendous majesty figure. He can't say what it was, but he says, I saw a great white throne and the presence of God on that one. And then he says, there were millions and millions of people around the throne of God. And then he says this. He says, some looked more like Jesus. Some looked less like Jesus, but they all looked like Jesus. They all looked like Jesus. And if you can only begin to understand what that means, we're at different levels. Some look more like him. Some look less like him. But our goal is to look like him. Thank God that I am not all that I should be. I am not that I could be. But I thank him immensely that I am not what I used to be. And that's sanctification. It will give you such love for God, and it will give you such love for other people. I can't think we'll go out. That jealousy, the impatience, the anger, that gradually, they will like, you know, I had a book in my Sunday school class, and my mom was my Sunday school teacher, and she used to teach us this. There was this, you know, that time there were no computers and nothing, and they had these black and white books, and they had a boy by the name of Vijay, and they used to show Vijay's heart. Remember that premise? Vijay had this heart. And when Jesus comes, Jesus sees all these ugly animals in Vijay's heart, and he begins to kick all those animals. But one animal hides there somewhere. One is always hiding somewhere. And that's the sinful nature. How does it manifest? It manifests through something that you are obsessed about. It manifests through something that you are unwilling to let go of. God, don't send me to Africa. God, I'll do this, but don't tell me to love that guy. God, you can have all my money, but don't talk to me about my personal life. There's always something in my heart, and that is connected with that sinful nature. And that something has to go. And what sanctification does is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, it destroys that something, giving me a brand new start. Amen. God bless you.